This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We are closing in on another weekend of football and one of the biggest games for Washington in many, many years. Certainly in their existence now as the Commanders. They're headed up 95 to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. We want to get some insight on that matchup, and so we welcome onto the show an analyst from NFL Network who was one of my favorite coaches in the league for many years, a four-time double-digit game winner on the sidelines in San Francisco, coached in Detroit at the end of his career as well. Steve Mariucci is on G&D. Steve, it is awesome to have you on the show. Thanks so much for hopping aboard.
Hi, Grant. Hi, Danny. Yeah, good to be on. Yeah, you mentioned a big game. I think so. I think you're right with Washington and Baltimore. Boy, a couple of fun teams to watch.
Yeah, we're not used to this around here, Steve. We're not really sure how to stand or if we're smiling or where our hands go in the photo, but yeah. It's a lot of fun. Just big picture, what do you make of this makeover, quite frankly, that Washington seems to be undergoing here in real time?
You know, I can't lie to you. I thought Dan Quinn would turn things around, but I didn't think it would be this quickly, you know. And Dan Quinn and I go back. I gave him his first job in the National Football League. I hired him out of Hofstra. And he became a defensive quality control for me in San Francisco. And I interviewed all kinds of guys who were NFL experienced and closer friends to me and all of those things. And I chose Dan Quinn because I just thought this guy was hungry and wanted to work and wanted to learn and was going to be really something special. And I'm so darn proud of him and the job that he's done as a defense coordinator and as a head coach in Atlanta. And here he goes again. And, man, I thought it would take a year or two to be competitive, and they're just they're the cream of the crop right now in that division. It's so fun to watch. And then, of course, who would have thought that a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels would be this good so soon? Man, is it fun to watch.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I want to go back to Quinn for a second because we talk a lot about Daniels. We'll get to him. But we haven't talked as much about the Dan Quinn part of this the last few days. Why do players love him so much, and why does everyone in the NFL, seemingly, that have ever been around him or not, love this guy? Yeah. I mean, he is one of the most, it's got to be one of the highest Q ratings ever.
Yeah, I don't know what a Q rating is, but, you know, he's
popularity. He's very popular.
Like, yeah.
His approval
is that
rating.
For Quinn? I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so that's what we saw when we first hired him, and, you know, he doesn't have a huge ego. He's all about the team, the organization, about loyalty, about brotherhood, about all of that kind of team stuff. And it comes across. It's natural. He doesn't have a pretentious bone in his body. And guys gravitate to him. He's believable. He's sincere. He's honest. He's straightforward. He's, you know, there's no showmanship or any of that. It's just like you what you see is what you get. And he's a down-to-earth human being. And he's very grounded, and I think that comes across in his teaching and his everyday life in that organization. I think it's infectious.
Steve Mariucci with us here on Grant and Danny. Steve, we were just kicking this around, Grant and I were moments ago, So far, no one's really been able to stop Jaden Daniels or slow him down, really, since that Tampa game, kind of getting his feet wet in week one. And the design may be, hey, let's try to keep him in the pocket to maybe, you know, force him to be a thrower, because not that he's bad at that, but it's less of a strength compared to what he's done, you know, whether it's scrambling, whether it's design runs, whether it's improvisation, kind of that second play that people kind of talk about. Is that something that you would see early on, or maybe the next few weeks people trying to make him do? And if so, how do you do it?
Yeah, so, you know, he what did he have, 3,000 yards in college rushing.
Yeah.
And very productive with his legs. And so, you know, we talk a little bit about dual threat quarterbacks, and really that's a misnomer. You know, we're talking about his arm and his legs, but it's more than that. It's his smarts. These dual threat quarterbacks, they have to have some kind of intelligence and some instincts and some things that allow them to determine, when do I run? How do I run? How do I protect myself? There was a couple times I was even critical of Jaden Daniels early, because he took some hits. He took some hits, and I went, gosh, the kid's got to learn to protect himself. I don't want to see another RG3 where he gets beat up. You know, he's an exciting runner, but just too many injuries. So I think that's one of the things that he's got to always be conscious of. That's how Russell Wilson survived for so many years. He ran out of bounds. He slid. He protected himself. And he's got to do that. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's doing a heck of a job, because he's the exact right kind of coach and scheme for Jaden. That's a college kind of a scheme, but we're doing more and more of that, right, in the National Football League all the time with these young kids. But I see some additional personnel groups with two and three tight ends and a little smash mouth and some diversification with their formations and personnel groups to help them along. So I just think this has been fun to watch. It's happened faster than I thought. There's going to be, as long as this kid's healthy, and there's going to be some, you know, RPOs and some zone reads and some quarterback design runs that utilize his talents. Why not? You know, I had Steve Young when he was 37 years old. He was a heck of a runner, but you get a little judicious when you start calling runs with a guy that's 37 versus 23, right? So, you know, for a while now, you're going to see his legs go crazy, because he can really, he's such a threat. And then defenses have to decide, hey, how much man do we really want to play? Because if this kid takes off, we really don't have anybody that can spy on him or run him down. He's too fast.
Hey, you saw that a couple times around the league this week, where somebody's in man, and like the receiver will throw their hands up and keep running down the field, right? And the quarterback will just go 25 yards up the sideline because nobody knows they've run.
You're exactly right. And so, you know, it forces some teams to say, all right, we're going to play more zone than we want to, and keep our eyes on the quarterback and make him throw through windows, tight windows. But right now he's playing well against the blitz. He's playing well against zone and man. And sooner or later reality has to set in. We're going to say, oh yeah, he is a rookie. Yeah, he's going to have a tough series or a tough game, but we really haven't seen it yet. Haven't seen it yet.
Steve Mariucci, NFL Network analyst, Jaguars Bears in London, airs Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network. We'll ask you about that one in a few minutes. But sticking with Daniels, you talk about kind of reality setting in. The conversations we're having in town, and we're guilty of it, I'll admit, I mean, as much as anybody, but we're trying to kind of continue to say this is not going to be linear, it won't be like this every week. But you see the national narratives, and maybe you guys are having some of these convos at the network where, you know, he's an MVP candidate. He's already a top five quarterback. I mean, some of this stuff after a month of football seems a little bit insane. What should we be thinking in terms of, like, being hesitant to say this is all legitimate versus there have been guys that started fast and then cooled off? Like, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. Remember Bill Parcells said you are what your record says you are?
Right.
And so it's not just that he's leading the league in completion percentage and some other statistics. And he's up on top, you know, with offensive yards and passer rating and all of those things. But his direct, I've always said, you pay a quarterback to win. And so I don't care how you do it, throw, run, or everything in between, you know, be a field manager or a game manager. Just you pay him to win, and he's 4-1. There's not many teams with a better record. So far, in the first quartile of the season, you say, yeah, not only is he the front runner for the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, you say, well, heck, I mean, look at his numbers. He's a candidate for MVP. Now, that would be really something, really something. And I got to get handed to him. These young rookie quarterbacks are all playing well so far. Three of them have been playing very well. Caleb Williams over there with the Bears, and then Bo Nix with Denver. The three of them had a 10-5 record, which is unheard of. It's the best record in the first five games of any rookie starting quarterback since the merger. So they've got off into a real nice start, all of them.
Grant Danny here on The Fan, joined by Steve Mariucci. Kind enough to give us a few minutes talking Jaden Daniels and the Local 53 here and their success. So, Steve, in terms of the marriage between Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, it's something that I'll be frank, my hands up, I was wrong. I was a little bit skeptical about, kind of given Kingsbury's previous stops, right, where it's nothing but shotgun in Arizona, you know, and their run game was inconsistent at times, and, you know, there wasn't much motion, and DeAndre Hopkins was on the left side the entire time. Well, through five weeks, no one's ever been more wrong than me, basically, right? I mean, they've been humming. Yeah. It's this sort of power spread kind of thing. It's a great combo. What have you made of the design and then kind of the fit for Daniels in general? And again, let's talk about some sustainability, how much of that they can keep doing going forward.
Yeah, your observation is accurate, because Cliff Kingsbury, you know, sometimes coaches get a shot at being a head coach and it doesn't work out for a multitude of reasons. One is that he doesn't have a lot of experience, and two, maybe the team is in transition, needs a lot of help, needs a lot of time. And so what we're seeing here is that Cliff learned some things, didn't he? Hadn't been a coach in Arizona, and, you know, and he had a heck of a quarterback, but you kind of know, you know, when you reflect back and say, what could I have done better if I get a chance? What will I do differently? Well, he's doing that, and a lot of it has to do with his personnel. You know, he wants to utilize Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler. That was a good get, and these tight ends with Ertz and all these guys. And so he's utilizing a lot of these other weapons. Terry McLaurin, he didn't start off very well. He had less than 25 yards receiving. So you're going to see more involvement as Jaden Daniels gets better. You're going to see more production out of Terry McLaurin, who's a premier receiver in this league. And so this team in a lot of ways is just scratching the surface in terms of putting their offense together. Yes, their numbers are good, and yes, they haven't been turning the ball over or shooting themselves in the foot. And some of those things will happen a little bit. But boy, are they on the right track, and I love the adjustments that Cliff made in improving this offense and making it more difficult to defend.
Steve Mariucci of NFL Network's with us on Grant and Danny. The opponent this weekend, 1 o'clock game in Baltimore on Sunday. The Ravens are coming off a squeaker, but a really important win for them against the Bengals. What's your take on Baltimore so far this season and their chances to handle Washington as favorites?
Well, I'm kind of surprised they're 3-2 because they're really a good team. And the Bengals, you know, they had a chance to win that game, and of course they lost it in overtime, and it was a shootout, and Joe Burrow is back. He seems to be back on track finally. But when you take the best rushing team, and let's start with Lamar Jackson, and since he's been there, the Ravens have...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Been the best rushing team in the league, and John Harbaugh likes to play smash mouth power tough football, right? He's old school. And then you add the best, there's all different kinds of running backs, right? From Christian McCaffrey to Mark, just all kinds of guys, Alvin Kamara, and But you added Derrick Henry, for crying out loud, who's the biggest banger, and he can just wreck you at any time. You add him to the best rushing team, and now all of a sudden it's like, how do you stop these guys? Because Lamar Jackson is another guy that can throw it and run around and make plays, as we all know. Only been the MVP a couple times. And so just this team is really dangerous. They can beat anybody on any given day. And so they lost the game, you know, with the Isaiah Likely's toe being out of bounds. I mean, they're just close. And then this is going to be a tough out for the Washington Commanders. But what a game it's going to be. It's a lot of fun.
Coach, I want to go back to your coaching career here and ask you about this. You obviously were at the helm of some really, really good teams with what you had to have some buy-in to go 13-3 in this league, right? As you did so many years ago. This wide receiver room is really unselfish. And again, this is me being wrong again. I thought they needed one more high-level playmaker at some point in this offseason just to make it easy on Daniels. And not only have they not need that, they've thrived without it. But you get these hustle plays like Olamide Zaccheaus away from the ball, sprinting 60 yards down the field to help recover a fumble. You know, guys are blocking and doing kind of everything without all the catches and targets that you normally associate with wanting to play the position. Did you ever have a room like that? And how do you kind of keep guys happy without giving them the, you know, the 9 or 10 targets and, you know, dealing with the, hey, coach, I was open on that play, that every receiver that, you know, has never, ever been covered has to come over and yell at you on the sideline. How do you kind of keep guys in line like that? You ever dealt with that?
Yeah. And so I had some receivers that wanted the ball, man. I mean, I had Jerry Rice.
Uh-huh.
And if you had Jerry Rice, you'd throw him the ball too.
I would have, yes.
Except for Jerry Rice Day, I threw Terrell Owens 20 catches that one day anyway, because they were tripling Jerry. But you know, I had Jerry, Hall of Famer, and T.O., Hall of Famer, and J.J. Stokes was a good one, Ty Street. And so it was a balancing act because they all needed to contribute, right? All wanted to contribute. And we led the league in rushing a couple times, you know? And so that was another whole balancing act when Steve Young was getting up there in age. And so we wanted to also run the football with Garrison Hurt. So anyway, it was a lot of fun to try to keep everybody happy. You're right. But Washington is not in that situation yet. You got a bunch of young guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to win. They're just trying to make a name for themselves and earn another contract next time around. And so you're exactly right. As long as they're winning. Now, if they were 1-4, you know, and, you know, maybe Terry McLaurin would say, hey, I'm one of the top guys in the league. I need more targets. And so, but that's not the case at all, like you mentioned. And they're a very unselfish team with a very unselfish quarterback. And it's kind of neat when nobody really cares who's getting the stats. They just keep on winning. And I think that's the culture that Dan Quinn will kind of create.
Steve, a couple other rapid-fire questions for you. We'll let you out on these. Watch Steve Mariucci on NFL Network. You should watch the Jaguars and the Bears. The London game is a breakfast game, little eggs, bakey, and football, 9:30 a.m. East time on NFL Network this weekend. So a few things this week. We'll just go rapid fire through these. Drake May is getting the start for the New England Patriots for the first time against the best pass rushing defense in the league in the Texans. What do you make of the decision there?
Well, it's baptism by fire. I mean, let's go. I mean, you got to see what the kid can bring to the table. Jacoby Brissett was, you know, 1-4 and let's face it, the Patriots are not the Patriots that we saw for two decades where they just dominated the National Football League. They are flat in rebuilding mode, whether they like it or not. They're in rebuilding mode, and Jerod Mayo's got a job to do, and it's going to be a gradual improvement. It's not going to happen. So you got to find out if your young guy can do this. And so I think offenses are a little bit, I don't want to use the word easier, but we're more and more in shotgun, we're more and more in spread. We're more and more now in the National Football League with college-type systems where quarterbacks aren't under center as much and turning their back to the defense with play-action passing game. And it's a little bit quicker to get used to what they need to learn. So let's play these young guys. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that these young rookie quarterbacks can play well in these systems now. So let's go. And Drake May, he's gonna go through some growing pains, like they all should, and they all will. But I think it's time that they realize they're not going to be a playoff team. This isn't to spark them to see if they can win the division. They're not going to win the division over there, and they're just going to try to get better each week in certain areas. Determine what they need in the off season in terms of free agents and draft choices and try to improve week to week with individuals like this.
I like that. Last one would be the Saleh change in New York. They fire Robert Saleh. I don't know if you know Jeff Ulbrich at all. I'm guessing he was probably playing maybe right at the end of your coaching days, but he gets his first crack here. I mean, it's not very often you see a coach get fired and a team playing to take first place in the same week.
You know, it's kind of, how do I say it? It's kind of screwy to see somebody get let go after five games. Kind of weird. I know Jeff Ulbrich. He was a linebacker for us at the 49ers. Heck of a guy, heck of a coach. I know Robert Saleh. He went to the same Northern Michigan University that I went to, and he's a heck of a guy too. And so, you know, he got there 3.5 years ago to make them a playoff team, and he has delivered in terms of having a heck of a defense. We all know that. But for a lot of different reasons, the offense didn't get much better, and that's not to say they didn't try. I mean, they signed Aaron Rodgers, and he gets hurt last year, and now he's coming back, and they're just a little too late, I guess. But I would have liked to see him coach a little longer, try to finish out the season and see exactly where this thing goes before they blow it all up, because there's going to be a huge disruption over there. Now it's like, am I going to be staying? Should I start looking for a job, or what's going to happen to me? Is a new coach going to come in and wipe us out? What's going to happen? But, you know, they're just, they're eighth seed right now at 2-3. With 17 games and seven playoff teams, somebody's got to keep hope alive, right? Big game against the Buffalo Bills, who are in a similar situation. The Bills are coming off a tough loss, and they're a heck of a team, too, that might not be as talented as before, but they're sure fighting hard, and they got the Superman at quarterback and Josh Allen. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Jets going forward and see how Robert, Aaron Rodgers plays and finishes out the year with Nathaniel Hackett.
Steve, great to catch up with you, man. Really appreciate the time, and enjoy the football this week.
Well, you guys too. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk again sometime, okay?
Yeah, love to see you. That was awesome. Very, very cool to get you on the show. One of my favorites on NFL Network in a long time. Really good coach in the league, Steve Mariucci on Grant and Danny. That was cool. We've not had Mooch on the show, so that's very good.
Yeah, a lot of winning seasons back in the day, by the way. There's a lot of big crooked numbers with that are double digits in front of the in the win column there for him.
He just comes off like such a good dude on TV, too. I like him. And you can tell why his players always loved him.
For sure.
A big personality. All right, let's look at some of the NFL headlines we have not gotten to today. The Saints are going to have to move on without Derek Carr for 2 weeks. Carr is out for 2 games, and their season's in the balance. So they're not turning to their QB2, who came into the game when Carr got hurt, Jake Haener. They're going to start Spencer Rattler, who they drafted this past year. So that is a 7th rookie quarterback that will get to play this season if Penix gets in, presumably.
Why do you think they're doing that? They're going to Rattler. They're skipping over Haener.
Rattler was really good in the preseason and is the future.
Is it that simple? Because it seems, I suppose it is. But this seems to me to be a caretaking situation, and they're going, we need a big spark type situation, I guess, after losing 3 straight.
I mean, their season's on the line.
Yeah.
They watch Haener every day. I think Haener was more of a break glass in case of emergency in game. You can run the offense, get us in and out of the huddle. Now you got a week to prepare a guy, and the upside is with Rattler. I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. He could mess around. I don't think he will be better than Carr was, but he could give you some of the explosives and big plays to a Shaheed that Carr was giving them, I think, because he's got the big arm.
They're looking for Shaheed a lot. A lot of a jump ball, a lot up for grabs. I mean, to me, they're neglecting Chris Olave, a really good player who had 2 catches, I think, for 10 yards this past week. They need to get him more involved.
Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show today, his first public comments since the firing of Robert Saleh, and the inferences yesterday, I guess I should say, that he was the reason Saleh got fired. He said he resents that narrative, said that that was certainly not the case. He said he and Robert Saleh had a great relationship. So either believe him or you don't. I don't think they had a great relationship. I don't think he went to anyone to have him fired. But I think it was pretty well known in the building. He and Saleh weren't on the same page. This is just from outside looking in. That certainly didn't help Robert Saleh.
Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers would like to, he can resent me all he wants. I believe that he's the central reason why Saleh doesn't have a job this morning. Now, again, I'm with you.
Because he's played poorly?
No, I don't think he went into Woody Johnson's office and said, I demand this person be fired. But I think everything has to be catered to him. He knows he's got that kind of power at this stage in his career. He knows that a team that's been a quarterback away, moved mountains with a huge contract, it's make Aaron Rodgers happy 30. That's what time it is every single day there, all the time. You know, so Salah wasn't doing it, wasn't buttering the bread. You saw those public rifts, whether it was he's unexcused and there's no excuse for it, and there's no excuse. We'll see him when he feels like being here. And then the
snap count.
Yeah, let's fix the snap count. No. As soon as I saw that, that's over.
One thing I'll give him credit for that I did like about the interview, he did come out and say that as players, we need to understand we got a guy fired.
Totally.
And he said that personally, I didn't play well enough. And the toughest thing for me yesterday, in a good guy and a good family having to deal with this, is that if I had played better, he'd still have a job. And I thought that was a respectable thing.
I agree with that.
For him to say. Speaking of quarterback changes, Las Vegas Raiders, the LVRs, they are benching Gardner Minshew. They are going to Aiden O'Connell. So AOC will be on the field as QB1 for the Raiders. This does nothing for me. O'Connell played okay in the second half of last year, but that is a team going nowhere fast. They make terrible in-game decisions. It stinks because I really liked Antonio Pierce as a player and I liked covering him. Some of his punt decisions and plus territory and the things he does, they are disqualifying to me. I would be so salty if I was a player in that locker room, but they love the guy. Like it's the rah-rah brotherhood nonsense and they're all in.
Yeah, this is hard because as a I never met Antonio Pierce, obviously, but like I remember him here as a player.
He's such a good dude.
And the style of person, like I want a bunch of Antonio Pierces around. You know what I mean? Like this is a good dude, the hardest worker, etc. This to me is the only potential problem when you got the guy that was in a locker room 5 minutes ago as a player, where it's, I'm not considering that we've updated so many files. You know, I could be handed so many sheets of paper that tell me so much data, but I'm not doing that. It's about hard nose, smash mouth, be tough, outlast your opponent, get low, fire off, where that stuff's important too, but we've got so much information that you could just read and you could have it, but he's got his old school mentality and they're, you know, scuffling at the back of the division.
We are now 4 days away from the Commanders and the Ravens on Sunday in Baltimore. Gonna be a lot of fun to take you up to the kickoff of that game on the Fan in the days ahead. Speaking of which, if you missed any part of today's show, including Will Montgomery, who joined us at 3 o'clock to break the O-line down, Steve Mariucci just a few minutes ago, podcast us at thefandc.com. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Luke McCaffrey. He's becoming something of a regular here on Grant and Danny. Big fans of Luke's. He stops by in the 4 o'clock hour. We're also giving away more Caps tickets to their game a week from tomorrow night against the Stars right at 4 o'clock on the Fan tomorrow. Keep it here for Overtime with Linnell next. Thanks to Darris and Ryan. We're G&D saying so long.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.